when we start hearing that enemy, like block it right at the, nip it in the bud, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And then when we start identifying that it's being reinforced in the environment, now we're in a demonic atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's what that is. It's not the people, it's the spirits operating behind those people. We fight not against flesh and blood, right?
That's right.
But war, so, you know, in that situation, like step one, captive, mind captive, stop it from the inside out, and then eliminate the outside ones. Because if not, we will become what we believe.
Yeah.
And be aware of the ones that are internal too, because we started to talk about a little bit about that before we started recording that, and I've wrestled with the same exact thought. I feel like I should be further along.
Yeah.
And then that keeps you in that sense of boot loop.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Boot loop.
Boot loop. Yeah. Okay, God, so now I'm back here doing this and I'm like, wait, I'm not going anywhere. Why am I not going anywhere? And so we think it's always outside. You know, someone speaking into our lives, but, and I don't want to give the enemy credit, but we have to be aware of his tactics. Yeah. It's not always going to come from somebody because we are often wise enough to say, that's a word curse. I'm going to stop that in its tracks. Don't even come in. But it's your own personal space. Mm-hmm. And then you think it's God because it seems edifying, like, oh, I should be doing more for God. I should be, if I read my word an extra hour a day, it's really going to like, that's going to be it, you know?
You have an hour a day.
That can put you in a place of depression, despair, and back to self-centeredness because you're not trusting God. Mm-hmm. But again, the blind's there because you feel like, well, I'm trusting God. I should do more. And again, it's back to just you. Mm-hmm. And if it's always back to you, well, then I'm not really trusting God. And I don't believe that's God then, right? That can't be the word of God. If you're constantly getting back to a place where you're putting the pressure on yourself, that's not from God because it's not about you. It's about him. And that, can God speak loud enough for us to hear him? I mean, if he can do anything, you know what, Lord, then hit me where I'm at and smack me upside that head if I have to be. But Lord, it's more of you than less of me, right?
Amen. And that's just having to make that daily conscious decision.
That's right.
You know, as far as like discipline, you know, there's still days where I have to force myself because I could get caught up in my busy schedule and my busy life, but I have to make my time with him intentional. And I can't just skimp on, you know, the intimate time that I spend with God, because then that's when those thoughts can come in a lot easier because I'm not self-aware. You know, and God keeps me in check. You know.
The full armor. I mean, every morning, the full armor of God, especially, like, I feel like there are definitely seasons, right, of heightened, I would say, spiritual attacks. Like, I don't know if you've ever been one, like, when you know when you're in a battle, right, and you're just like, Lord, when is this going to end? I'm walking obedient, and then the next thing happens, it's wrong, and then the next thing, and you're like, okay, and I'm not doubting, because we have that hope, right, but it gets tiring, it gets weary, right?
That's what he tries to do.
And that's but that's when he can start to creep in with those little lies. Like, I love that you said that, because it's like, it's not when we're operating in the fullness of the armor and we're like, right? It's like, it's when you're like, you know, on your knees crying to the Lord and you're like, I am in a broken place. And it's when you're looking again for the answer within yourself, like, Lord, give me the strength. Sometimes, you know what? I'm in a place right now where I'm like, strength. Like,
that ship sailed.
I mean, there's a Philippians verb. It's like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm like, joy?
Where?
I don't even have strength. Like, let me start with that, you know?
Yeah,
and it's true. But it comes from the joy of the Lord, you know? And when everything seems so impossible and bleak, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, Lord, take it from me. Like, that's a prayer too. Like, don't give me the strength. Maybe just take it from me. Like, can I get a ride? You know what I mean? Can I get a ride? Like, I need a hitchhike a little while. And the Lord is good. I believe that he meets us where we're at. You know what I mean? And he says that he's close to the broken and contrite in heart, because we are open in that place. And we need a ride. We don't want to drive.
But we also need each other. That's one of the tricks of the enemy, is to isolate us and keep us, like, where we don't have that community.
Or too embarrassed to share. Because the shame might expose something.
It does.
Or, you know, somebody says, are you doing okay? No, you're not doing okay. To be able to share with someone.
Well, maybe we need to all be more compassionate then. Because I feel like if people are afraid to share, then it has to come from a place of condemnation and judgment. And that would only be because people are not being compassionate when they share, whether or not you like what they have to say too. And I find this in the body of Christ more than anywhere, because that's who attacks me online, is my ministry. Mm-hmm. And it's really disgusting. They can say some of the meanest things, more mean than people that don't believe in Christ. And you know, stones that are cast by brothers and sisters are sharper, I think, because we are
should be family.
Yeah. Right.
Should be.
But in that, I think there's a learning thing, and it's that if I've obviously set the bar, we as Christians have set this bar of very low compassion to be expected from one another, and that's why we don't reach out. That's why we do isolate. That's why we do fear shame and judgment and guilt. So in the end of the day, what is to be learned from that? What can we do?
Spend less time online.
No, I don't think that's the answer. I do think the answer is absolutely to combat everything with compassion and grace, and sometimes it means not responding at all. So many good Christians think that it's their duty to respond, right? Or to take action. And let me tell you what, God has it 100%. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the most graceful response you can do is shut your mouth and pray for that person behind their back instead of talk behind their back or slander them to their face.
Exactly. And that's the thing too. I think sometimes as Christians, we, when somebody shares something that they're going through, we have to think of the perfect thing to say. We have the solution. We have the answer. Here's the scripture that you need. But his word says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Right. Sometimes we should just pull just up beside somebody and just sit with them and let them know that they're not by themselves.
Yeah. Right.
That we're not condemning them.
Yes.
But I think when they're already broken and they're already going through what they're going through, we come with this almost like a
savior. Yeah. It is it's the savior complex. I always say, I used to try to do God's job and I thought that I was doing it in righteousness. Like, and then I became people's saviors, because the thing is, it's not their fault. If they're really weak, they'll cling to you an idol, right? And now, unfortunately, they're they're worshiping you. I mean, it's crazy. And it gets heavy because then you feel responsible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not God. And if you do find that you're in one of those situations, that's okay, because I think that women that are learning how to become leaders in ministry will come into one of these situations, and you have to learn how to identify that, right? Because that's just natural. And then also hand it over to Christ and get out of the way.
And that's where I think discipleship plays a big factor, where, you know, you can pull up beside them, but we also need to know how to disciple them.
Titus 2.
Maneuver.
We need a Titus 2 revival in the body of Christ. And we're trying a new creation woman, you know, but it's true. It kind of fell through the cracks. I mean, after teen leadership, what happens? Nothing.
Nothing.
Now you're an adult. You're supposed to know all this stuff. Like, where are the elder adult women?
Well, it says in the
Bible, you know what I mean?
The
guiding.
Older women are supposed to.
Well, right.
I think there was a disconnect, though.
We started discrediting the elderly.
Well, I also think there was a disconnect, because I remember a time, you know, coming out of the teen ministry and there was the young adults. What was lacking? Relationships. Nobody really...
They all just want to get married.
Yeah, no one took the time. Yeah, they didn't take the time to build relationships. But if you don't have relationships, then you really can't convene with somebody and to share your heart. Mm-hmm. It's harder to share. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's easier to share your heart in a place of strangers. But there's a difference between even sharing your testimony and really sharing what you're feeling that day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, like, we can get up and, like, give the testimony, because that glorifies God. But maybe what we're feeling that day isn't glorifying God.
Yeah.
And we don't feel like we can share that, because then that makes us look bad and that makes God look bad.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we forget that Jesus was the Savior. He was the Deliverer.
That's right.
But he wept. But he, Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
There were many times in the Bible he wept. Yeah. And then he did it. But he wept first. Sometimes we need to just weep and surround ourselves with people that we know we can be in the presence and just be raw and be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's who I think, that's who Jesus really is. That's who he was. He was raw. He was open, right? There was nothing he hid.
Yeah.
That was it, you know?
Well, even the story with Lazarus.
He wept.
He knew he was going to raise him from the dead.
Yeah.
But
he still chose to share
in their sorrow, because, you know, they were his...
He loved Lazarus.
Yeah.
You know? And so he wept that
and
he had died.
And fully man in that moment, too, which, like, does not excuse us for thinking God couldn't relate, because he's God. You know? Like, if he's going to cry over that, he felt. everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably much more than we can comprehend.
I mean, he it says that he cried tears of blood before. Yeah. Come on, to cry so hard that you're crying tears of blood. I've thought about that.
A medical synopsis on how that even can happen. Yeah. And it's insane. Your heart has to explode first.
I mean, and he said, Father, if you can take this cup from me, I don't know how much more of a man that you can be that he fought that.
Yeah.
I mean...
And there's, you know, just everything that I went through, you know, I questioned God when I was in it. Mm-hmm. And then through hindsight, you know, when I look back, I'm like, okay, you know, he taught me how to love people better.
Yeah.
Because we can't love people if we don't know, if we can't relate to their pain, if we can't relate to their suffering their trials, you know, we can kind of stand at a distance, but that disconnect. But, you know, even now I've gone through things and, you know, wanted him to just take it from me. But then I had to stop myself and be honest and say, okay, you know what? If I trust you, if this is the cup that you really would have me carry, you know, I'm willing.
Wow. That's right.
You know,
and Does it shift it's after that?
Well, I had a situation where I actually had found a lump.
Okay.
And, you know, when I was single, didn't have health insurance. And had to go have a mammogram, had to go through all this stuff, you know, by myself, and, you know, came back abnormal. And they wanted me to have an ultrasound that came back abnormal, so they scheduled a biopsy 2 weeks later. And I was wrestling, I was struggling, you know, because I'm like, God, just take it, just take it, just take it. Yeah. And, you know, my mind's just racing.
I know you can, just take it.
Do it. Yeah.
But if it happened, you know, if that's what I had to go through, I'm like, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to be able to work? How am I, you know, it's just me. And God was like, Mandy. Mm. And he had to kind of give me a correction. To stop myself, you know, from just going on this woe is me spiral.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, to be able to hear his voice. You know, I was listening to all the shouting and the screaming and the lies of the enemy who was trying to get into my head. And then when I just had that time with him, and when I said, okay, if this is the cup that you would have me carry, then I trust that you're going to make a way. And I found a company or an organization that was going to pay for everything if I had to have, you know, the biopsy, the surgery, everything.
Because that just happened. To no one.
I went back for my biopsy and they couldn't find it.
Praise God.
So,
but it was after the surrender. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, literally, that was a surrender.
It was kind of like he just wanted to be like, that's all I wanted to hear.
Oh, wow.
Did you trust me?
Did you trust me? And when I finally was just 100% honest and let go and was willing to carry that cup, he took it from me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Praise you know, and it was pretty powerful because when I went in, the doctor came in and she's like, well, I guess we can't biopsy something that's not there. And I was like, my God is good.
Amen.
You know, so.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And then that becomes a testimony to everybody in the room. The nurse, like, she's like, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how his goodness can possibly turn the things that he takes into good, but it's true. Whatever happens, whatever happens. You know, we say that so casually until you have a lump or until, you know, I mean, literally it's
until
the end of the road.
It could be life or death,
you
know,
the end of the road.
Yeah.
And knowing that no matter what, you know, and having that faith, but also knowing that there's joy that's promised. Like, it seems ridiculous when you are so weak that all you want is the strength to carry on one more day. And he's like, no, I'm going to give you joy too. What? You know, just question him. I mean, it's okay to pray like that. Like, really, God, your word says this. So I'm reminding you your word.
That's right,
and can you please show me like right now in this moment?
Well, Abraham did that.
Yes,
he reminded God, you know, well, and Moses, the same thing. Yeah, Moses, you know, had to remind God when he was like, all right, I'm done with them.
Yeah.
I'm going to wipe them all out. And he's like,
he was like, oh, Lord, please, not just save some of us. No, no. But I think that the redeeming part of our Savior comes out when those golden, like, lines, those silver linings to very, very, very dark stories, even all throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, and in our lives, right? So why are we so quick with the highlight reels? You know, everything's highlight reels, right? But there's no such thing as a highlight if it's nothing dark behind it.
That's right.
It doesn't exist.
That's right.
You know, thank you guys for being real. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we're encouraging other people to reach out and connect and know that it's safe. You know what I mean? Yep. There's truly a safe place. Mm-hmm. You know, and no Christian's perfect. No woman is perfect will be. No. Right? But as long as we're keeping our eyes on Christ and really that his heart is our heart. Mm-hmm. That's the heart that we're promised. We get a new one. Mm-hmm. We had stone and now it's not. It's flesh, it's new. And I think sometimes he has to keep some of us more raw than others to remind us that. You know?
Yeah.
Me being one, I'm saying. It's easy for me to get pretty hardened. And he's got to be like...
I had a morning of that myself. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Sometimes we harden for like self-defense.
Sometimes we don't even know.
Right.
We don't even know the deep root of like, ooh, you know, and it's... Sometimes the physical things that we're doing with trust then carry over into our relationship with God. And then God smacks you in the head and you're like, oh, I didn't see that. And maybe it wasn't time to see. Or again, when you don't think there's a problem.
Or you don't ask.
Or you
don't ask.
Yeah. You know? And for me, I've been asking God if there's anything, you know, show me. Sometimes it becomes so repetitive. And then I was reading through the book of Kings and all the kings that did evil in the eyes of the Lord. But the first thing, every single, you know, paragraph started, it was, the sins. But before the sins, it was the disobedience. Mm. And then I was like... Okay, God, disobedience. So we think like, we talk about the sin, right? But what did we do before we got to the sin? Was it disobedience to God? And I thought, well, God, I'm sure there's been many times I've been disobedient to you.
Yeah.
And for me, it was what we ended up talking about today, which is no irony, but trust. Do you really trust me?
Wow.
Truthfully, because if you don't, that's a disobedience.
Yeah.
And then when you're in disobedience, then you're out of the, you know.
Then it leads to the action. Sin. And I love that because I I can share with you that we were FaceTiming or what I was like, and my face started shining. And I'm like, Audrey.
She did.
I'm like, why is my face? Because we were talking about this and I said, well, you know, sometimes obedience alone is the seed that he's looking for.
And I was literally texting her.
And then my face started. I'm like, why I look like Moses?
She really did. It was weird.
But you know, when you get on one of those revelations, like we were sharing revelation, and then it was just like my face started blowing, and I was like, gotta go. But obedience is a seed. So when we sow that seed, that obedience, it's not always up on us to water it. You know what I mean?
No.
We can't bring the rain. Sometimes as Christians, we think we've got to water it. We've got to, like, I have gardens, right? If I don't take care of those seeds from the very beginning until the day that they're ready to prune, they'll die.
That's right.
Christianity is not the same. It's Christ. He is all of it, right? But if we can sow seeds out of obedience, which is the only way I believe we can sow seeds in the kingdom, right?
Amen.
Outside of his obedience is not according to his will.
That's right.
It's a worthless seed. It can look good, but it's not God.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. We sow good seeds or we sow God seeds.
That's right.
And are we busy sowing good seeds or God seeds?
That's there right. Amen.
Busy.
But I think that's what you can go back to and say, okay, is this really in obedience with his word?
I pray every day, God, I need to hear your voice, what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go. And I pray for my children and my grandchildren to have godly friends. And you guys are an answer to prayer. You know, like, we need godly friends. Even just one for all my children and grandchildren. And if there's somebody that's going to take them away from the Lord, I ask God to remove that person.
Yeah. That's right.
So I don't think that's wrong. I mean, listen, you got to protect the faith. Sometimes people are like, you can't pray for justice. I do it all the time. I pray a lot for children.
Yeah.
Like I do, especially like the ones that are being
abused.
In the human trafficking.
Yeah.
And all the time I cover children that are literally targets of you know, human trafficking and sex specifically.
Yeah.
Like, right. I pray in the name of Jesus all the time. I don't even know who they are. I'll be like, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old, now in the name of Jesus, Lord, like,
Amen.
Deliver them from
That's
whatever
right.
that is. And
Amen.
It's and it's happening more and more.
It's
you know? And you know what? The prayer warriors behind the scenes that are praying for the nameless, faceless people that they don't even know, but they're just saying, Lord, that child right now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, He hears.
Yes, he does.
And he has a special heart for children.
Yes,
so I believe as intercessors, it's not our job to just pray for people that we love. Yeah. It's not our job to just pray for our enemies either, because we do have to pray for them, and that is not fun. But sometimes it's just to pray for whatever the Holy Spirit puts you on in that time and in that place, because you never know how many other warriors are up there in front of the throne, like lifting up, you know? And this is a full-time 24/7 spiritual battle. It now, it's not our job to carry that 24/7. Yeah. You know
what
I mean?
To be obedient,
but if we're all doing our part and we're all showing up and being obedient when he calls us, guess what? It's 24/7.
That's right. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. And sometimes we miss that because we pass it off. We think it's nothing.
Yeah. You know, I'm crazy.
I mean, I'm crazy.
Here I go turning around getting late for work because I saw a woman. Right? I mean, that's
true.
That's the crazy that we, I think, makes us crazy for Jesus. And then that's that crazy love that becomes contagious. And it's that crazy that you can't turn off because it's so good because it's not us. And it's not crazy, right?
No,
that's just a word that I think lately I've been accused of being a fanatic Christian. And I'm like, you know what? I've been accused of being a lot of things in life. I will accept that one.
Accept that
and
one.
I will actually wear it as a banner of
like
pride.
I'm proud.
Crazy Christian. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
okay
what
with
it
that.
Is.
I'm
take
okay
it.
With that. Because in the end of the day, if I'm literally living according to his word, then all I really want to do is love you. It might not look like what the world tells you love looks like. That's not biblical. And so obedience, checking that according to his word is huge. We can pray for God to, you know, but when we can't hear him and we can't see him and we've got to go, like we got to make a move here first. Yeah. There's always time to pause, stop, and he will meet you here every single time.
And he meets you differently.
Sometimes I go driving and I'm running ahead of him. I don't just
read.
Yeah.
I know. That's where I've been. Just the reading.
I do it.
And it's funny when it's a scripture that you've read
a million times
and you're like, it's just different for the season. And I think that's how the word is truly timeless.
Yes.
Because you can see the scriptures that applied then, they applied now, obviously, but maybe applied to you differently 10 years ago, and they'll probably apply to me differently in another 10 years, depending on what the season and what God, the timing of his word.
Yeah.
And to really have something timeless like that, because nothing else is.
Nothing.
And I started like writing in my Bible, like I would record dates, like when God would speak to me, or if I was like had a concern about one of my kids or something, I would write in there. And it's so cool to go back, you know, then when you go back and then you see, it's like, oh my gosh, he answered that, you know, like so much better than I could have even imagined when you were out there and I was praying for you.
And what God out the bag. I'm all over her Bible.
You're not the only one. But
you're pretty much.
You're probably number one. No. I'm just kidding.
No. But anyway, it's cool. So I can encourage you to do that. Just, you know, because your grandma.
And there are some things that we can pass down that are beautiful and good, you know.
To have that in a Bible.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I've been starting to do that like in a journal because and this is actually a conversation with Maria, our friend Maria, sometimes God gives us something, but we are not good with the timing. We're not like, God, is this for now?
Right.
Or is this like for later? Because we're like, I'm a now person. I'm like, well, it must be for tomorrow because you gave it to me today. But we miss that step often and not ask God, what is truly the timing? And then I think we frustrate ourselves. And then we're like, did I really hear from God? And then we lose faith. And then we're back in disobedience.
And the funny thing is, he's a timeless God. So that's asking for him to come into something that he is outside of.
He created.
Right. And can you make it make sense, please? And again, he's incomprehensible because he's omniscient, omnipotent, right? All-knowing, all-existing. And there's nothing outside of him that is so... sometimes I catch myself just asking for more wisdom like Solomon.
Me too.
Like, you know, if we really feel like we're lacking and we're starting to doubt, then Lord, like, remove that doubt and replace it with your truth and your wisdom.
That's right.
And you know, he loved Solomon because he was just like, you didn't really ask me for stuff, so I'm going to give you all the stuff
and on top of it,
the wisdom to know what to do with it. Amen. How many times have we squandered things that he's given us because we didn't know what to do with it?
That's right.
We lose it. Then we lose faith in him because we've lost something and we got to start all over again.
Yeah.
And he redeems us because he's good.
Yeah.
You know, but why don't we get off the foolish cycle, right?
Yeah.
And get on like the kingly cycle of what can I do according to me today as your priest, your daughter, and your king. Because in the kingdom age, right, who's going to be the kings and the priests?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the saints. Who are the saints? The holy people.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Mama Mother Teresa. Yeah. Holy people. All of us. Yeah. Literally. Right. You know? I mean, God bless her. Her too, yeah. I guess. I don't know her.
She's one of them.
You know, only God knows that. Only God knows that. I'm sure she's wonderful. Shut that out. I'm just saying. Because when people die, right, like, everybody's always, like, so quick to be like, everyone's in heaven. What, so hell's just empty? Yeah. I mean, we've got to face the reality of the fact that people do go to hell.
They do.
And I don't know who they are. So don't ask another person on earth, right? Like, that's not, and that's what I think where we get into the mudslinging in Christianity. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. once saved, always saved. You've never been saved. You're not a true believer. That the ugliest part of Christianity comes out in those types of conversations. And I think it's okay to address it, right? Because we have to talk about our dirty laundry. If we don't, we don't grow from it. That's how do we grow from that? Well, I don't sit on the judgment throne, and neither do you, so that's up to him. Mm-hmm. And all I can do is work on me today, and if you want, I can share what I'm learning in his truth with you. Mm-hmm. We're all equal. No one's greater than, lesser than, holier than, other than Jesus Christ.
But we don't keep sinning. You know, the whole thing and the whole premise behind New Creation Woman is that we're new creatures in Christ.
Yeah.
We don't keep sinning or hiding that sin. And I'm sorry, the body of Christ has been doing a pretty bad... There's been some dirt, you know, coming out because people are preaching and they're, you know, on whatever, on their platforms, but then secretly they're doing stuff. And God's like washing all that out, and he's bringing it out. And, you know, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect, but, you know, we share what we have, what happened. But today we're new creatures and we don't live back there, and we don't keep doing the same sin.
But why? Because it makes us crazy. She said it in her testimony. She's like, I just didn't want to be a party girl anymore. Like, I met God at high school. It just changed your heart. Like, it doesn't actually, it hurts, right? Because change isn't, like, so easy necessarily. But when God changes your heart, your desires shift too. Yeah, yeah. So you stop wanting the old things. It's not like we don't sin because we're better. No, we just don't want to anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and the lie has been removed.
A prime example though, of because I didn't continue my walk and I went back into disobedience.
Yeah.
That's when the sin came back in.
That's right.
And that's when I, you know, so it was a vicious cycle. Until I finally was like, you know what, I don't want this anymore.
Yep. Surrender.
And,
we will cling to our own pride or our own, like, you know, even if it looks like humility, like, oh, I have to try so much harder. Surrender is really hard.
Mm-hmm. It is. And coping mechanisms, you know, because there are things that we have used to, that have, were helped us in the past, but then they quit working.
Well, and that's, you know, even now I'm learning, you know, being a newlywed, you know, I was single for 5 years and all the healing that I thought was taking place and, you know, all the things that I thought were okay because I wasn't aware of them.
Yeah.
God's like, okay, I'm going to bring these things out now because now you're sharing your life with someone. And, you know, it was having to realize that, you know, I was still stuck in survival mode and I was still on the, you know, the defense. I was, you know, defensive, like, don't come into my personal space because I'm going to love you, but I'm going to only let you see so much.
Yeah.
Where God's like, I can't have that.
No.
And, you know, it was having to go back and learning that, you know, there were areas that I hadn't surrendered.
Yeah.
You know, because of the trauma and the things that I went through that I had to, that he's, and it's painful, you know, having to relive and go back through some of my memories, you know, to see, okay, if I truly want to grow my relationship with God, it's not for sole purpose for bettering my marriage, but because I want to grow closer to God.
That's right.
I want more of who he is.
Yeah.
And that was hindering me from stepping into fully, you know, my calling.
Wow. That's right.
And, you know, so, you know, we were talking about gardens and, you know, when they prune rose bushes, they cut off certain flowers because it creates more growth, mm-hmm. you know, and that there's certain things that he's still cutting out of me, mm-hmm. you know, in mm-hmm. order for there to be new growth, mm-hmm. you know, and it's that pruning or, you know, even the crushing season yeah. where, yeah. you know, yeah. to get new wine or new yeah. or olive oil, you know, yeah. sometimes you have to be crushed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just having to be honest with myself and being honest with God and saying, okay, I don't want this anymore. Mm-hmm. I want more of who you are.
That's right.
And yeah. less of who Mandy thinks she should be or still needs to hold on to, and you know, so
yeah,
amen.
I love that.
That's awesome.
It's
amen.
A complete new creation.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. The glory, it's a glory, and not knowing what that looks like, and mm-hmm. being comfortable in the fact that there is hope at that end of the road, that it's okay, like mm-hmm. hit that wall mm-hmm. if you yep. need to, but before yep. you know what I mean, know that there's Christ and that there's somewhere to go from there. It's up,
yeah,
you mm-hmm. know, because. Man, and it's it we don't know what that looks like, which yeah. is beautiful, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Because
again,
it's better it than we imagine.
It takes us out of the equation yeah. and puts all the trust in God.
And like
we
you
don't
said
know.
About yeah. the striving, you yeah. know, and we strive because we feel like we're supposed to be further along than we are, but it goes back to the whole timing. His timing's perfect.
Yes, it does.
And
yeah.
you know, I can plant seeds.
That's
and
right.
I can water them every day, but it's not going to make them grow any faster because that seed yeah. grows at a certain rate.
That's yeah. right.
And you know, and we try to rush God's yep. plan, be like, "Why? Yeah. I want the blooms. I want it.
Right.
I want to be
want it right
flowered."
Now.
And you know,
I've been waiting.
Yeah. And you know, he's like, "Well, I'm getting rid of some weeds mm-hmm. because it's strangling some of your growth."
That's right.
And you know, so and it's just having to let him and not have that. The enemy coming in and making us mm-hmm. feel shameful or guilty because mm-hmm. we're not where we think we should be.
Right.
But allowing God to just do his job.
Mm-hmm. I'm not good at waiting.
Me either.
No.
No. It's hard to be in that waiting, the waiting period, mm-hmm. the waiting room. Think about a hospital and you're in the waiting room and you're waiting to hear.
That'd
it's
be
hard.
Still.
And
it is.
Like you said, he might give you something. Mm-hmm. He might give you a calling or an
yeah.
assignment or something. And you want it to, you know, like happen now. And mm-hmm. it's so hard because
yeah.
it's not always going to be right now. It might be for in a couple years from now. And it's mm-hmm. like,
And you know, those things can even become an idol
yeah.
in your life. You know, mm-hmm. we've talked a lot about idols, and we think that they're always really evident. But if we're not careful, we can allow the call to become more important than
mm-hmm.
than the Creator that gave you the call mm-hmm. to begin
yeah.
with.
Amen.
And then we start seeking that, and it becomes the idol, and we're almost worshiping the anointing and the call that God's placed on our life rather than worshiping Him
yeah.
and the gift that He's given us to mm-hmm. use for His purpose and His timing.
Amen.
You know, and I think that goes back again, obedience, because idols can come really quick and
yeah.
they can be the little foxes that spoil the
mm-hmm.
vine because
mm-hmm.
it looks really good
yeah.
and it's in alignment partially with the Word of God,
mm.
but not 100% surrender to Him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. So. That's mm-hmm. how idols creep in, and then eventually it's mm-hmm. completely riddled with the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, it's a slow. They're very deceptive.
They're very mm-hmm. deceptive. It's very
yeah.
slow. Yeah.
And masking as a calling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How dirty of you, devil.
That's true.
I mean, he doesn't play fair, right?
No, he doesn't.
So, but again, that's us coming, more of us and less of him instead of, you know, less
me,
of
me,
us
me.
And more of him.
Yeah.
So that's a good check.
Yeah, yeah it is.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
Thanks,
you so
Mandy.
Much for sharing your
yeah. Thank you.
Testimony today. I hope you'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
it was awesome to have you.
Alrighty. Thanks for tuning in. Check out our Instagram and Facebook, and we'll see you next time.